Pleasant good morning to you. It's good to be assembled with the saints. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here and hope that you will be encouraged by what has taken place today. We hope you'll open your Bibles with us at this point as we study from God's Word. And if you have any questions afterwards, we hope that you will ask. We'll be happy to give you a Bible answer for what we believe and what we have done today. We're glad you're here. I have a calendar that I keep on my desk where I place all my appointments. Some I have circled. Some I have put in red ink. Some I have in pencil because I'm not sure if it's going to make or not. We probably all have something similar because we don't want to miss the appointment. This morning I want to speak about God's appointments. Are you aware that God has made appointments that we're expected to keep? Do you know that we're forced to keep some of God's appointments, that in fact we don't have a choice about it? Some who are rebellious will claim, I don't have to do anything but pay taxes and die. And that's just false. There are things God has appointed which we must do. God has made an appointment for us. On Sundays, we are to gather together to worship Him. I like the language found in the 95th Psalm. And beginning in verse 6, it says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. We need to be those who bow down and worship God. In the New Testament, specifically in John chapter 4, Jesus says that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Both are necessary. We need to be certain that we are not testing the Lord like these folks were in verse 9. By disobeying Him. Their punishment was severe for those that He was upset with for 40 years. That's the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness, who all died in the wilderness, that whole generation, because they did not go into and take the promised land that God was going to give them. They tested Him. And our punishment will be just as severe as if we fail to obey Him. We've got to see that truth. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 24 is a familiar passage to most of us as Christians. Hebrews 10 and 24 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking for our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, in this appointment, our obedience is voluntary. We may choose to not obey the Scriptures, but we will still pay the price of God's retribution. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, when the Lord will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I can choose to not keep God's appointment that He's made for us on Sundays, but there will be a penalty for that. Those who love the Lord see the importance of keeping the appointment at the Lord's table. In Acts chapter 20 And then verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, and he preached a sermon on that occasion. The purpose of their gathering together was to partake of the Lord's Supper, to break bread. It's an appointment that we must consider more important than any other appointment. Whether or not we meet the Lord in worship, that's our decision. But we have to realize God expects it and God commands it. God has made an appointment for us with death. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27 says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. The only possibility of escaping this appointment with death is if we are alive when Christ returns. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 16, we see some teaching in this regard. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. It may be that we're alive when Christ returns. But for the vast majority of humanity, over the course of thousands of years, we will die. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 51, we see the Apostle Paul speaking a lot about the life after this death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, he says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For those who are alive at Christ's return, it does not seem that they will see a physical death, but everyone else will. Job chapter 30 and verse 23, Job says, I know that you will bring me to death into the house of meeting for all living. He knew that he was going to meet God at death. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, no man has authority over the day of death. You can't change this appointment. Psalm 89 and verse 48 says, what man can live and not see death? Even Joshua says in chapter 23 and verse 14 of the book of Joshua, I am going the way of all the earth. We have no choice in keeping this appointment. We don't know when it will be, but we are assured of its coming reality. It doesn't only come to the old, but also to the young. Are you prepared to pass from this life? The sooner you come to accept the reality of this appointment, the sooner you're going to take seriously the things of God. The sooner you'll repent, and the sooner you will obey God. Are you ready? We need to be prepared and ready because of the third appointment, which is the day of judgment. It's going to come without warning, even to those who are still alive. In Luke chapter 17 and in verse 26, Jesus says, and just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. No one will expect it. No one can predict it. It's going to happen suddenly. In that day, the world as we know it will end. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10, it says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Everything man's created physical in this life will be burned up. Everything God created physical in this life will be burned up. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." The world's passing away. It's going to die. It will not be here anymore. And we cannot avoid this appointment. We cannot avoid this day. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and in verse 11, there is some figurative language here, but I think we can understand the message. Revelation 20 and verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds." So the judgment from God can't be missed. We're all going to be there, and we're going to be judged on our deeds that we've done in this life. So I can't change what's going to happen to me at the judgment after I get there. It's all about what I've done in this life. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus says, "All will come forth," meaning from the grave. "All will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Some today want to say that the evil will be annihilated and they'll just be no more. No, they're going to face eternal damnation from God. That's what Scripture tells us. No one is going to miss this appointment with God. God has made the appointment. We're all going to stand in judgment. And God has appointed the judge. In Acts chapter 17, and in verse 30, we find a passage that we read more frequently than some of these others. It says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." All men are going to be judged. God has fixed the day. He knows when it's going to happen. And he has appointed this for us. I can't change it. I can't miss it. This is something God's going to do. John chapter 5 and verse 22 says that not even the Father judges anyone, but he's given all judgment to the Son. Jesus is our judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 4, Paul writes, I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Scripture is very clear on this. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. No one will miss this appointment. Christ died for us on the cross that we might be saved. He understands our problems because he lived as a man. I love the reading in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 14. It's a passage of great comfort. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He understands our temptations because he was tempted, just as we are. Nevertheless, we're going to give an answer for the deeds we've done in the body, good and bad. They're going to all be brought to light by Jesus. And it doesn't matter if we believe in the judgment day or not. God has made the appointment for us and we will appear. Some today pass judgment on Jesus, but then in that great day, he will be the judge. Some deny there is a God. Some deny there will be a judgment. Some who claim to be religious deny the necessity of following God. They say one way is just as good as another, or God is love and he's going to save everyone. Jesus stood before Pilate in about 33 AD, but on that judgment day, Pilate's going to stand before Jesus. That's the way it's going to be for every one of us. And nothing's going to be hidden. All of our secrets are going to be made known. God has appointed the standard of this judgment as well. Men have devised many standards that they claim we're going to be judged by. Some say we're going to be judged by what our friends think about us. That seems to be the standard they live by. We seek the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And for some, this is why they practice righteousness, to be seen of men, as taught in Matthew 6. We want that reputation for being a good person, one who is religious, yet we're not really concerned about God's standard. That's a problem for some in the church as well. It's a problem of attitude, which only self-examination will reveal and help us lead to a correction. That is not the standard that we're going to be judged by. Some believe being better than others is the way to go, but that is not the standard either. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says that we are not bold to class ourselves or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Our standard is not that I'm better than others. Some will count themselves as righteous before God by this comparison to the worst in our society, or those who are most obviously wrong about religion. Being one step above awful doesn't mean we're approved by God. That's not the standard God's appointed, and it can't be my standard or yours. Many think currently that as long as you are sincere in what you believe, God's going to approve. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I've known a lot of junior high school children who sincerely believed school was unnecessary, but they were not approved by any adult. Many criminals in our prison systems sincerely believe they have done nothing wrong, but the criminal conduct was not approved by our courts. Why then do we think God's standard is going to be my conscience? That would mean there is no standard by which all men are going to be judged. The conscience is not the standard. What is the standard is the word of Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. Well, do we know all the words that Jesus spoke? Have we studied Scripture to know what he says is the standard? Or do we just have a vague idea about it? I need to know what he said so that I can know if I'm living righteously. James chapter 2 and verse 12 says to so speak and so act as those who are judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is the law of freedom that Jesus proclaimed. Freedom from sin through his blood. It's the same message the apostles proclaimed. The word of God, the new covenant in Christ Jesus, is the standard by which we're all going to be judged. God has given us the law so that we can obey it. Just as a criminal in our courts has no recourse in the face of the law, so we will have no recourse when confronted by the law of God in Christ. And God's standard doesn't change. It is permanent. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His law is not going to change. The words he spoke in the first century will judge us. They don't change. Therefore, any excuse is going to appear quite flimsy at the judgment day. We like excuses, don't we? They roll off our tongue so easily. Maybe more correctly, I should say they roll through our mind so easily, and we accept them. The Bible does not say, he who disbelieves and is not baptized shall be condemned. Many think that it does say that. It doesn't say that. What it does say in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Acts 22 and verse 16 says to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says baptism now saves you. Instead of offering excuses, we're going to be held accountable for obeying what we've been told. Some folks, when they hear things like this, want to argue, well, there's just too many hypocrites in the church that I need to be doing that. Hypocrisy is condemned as sinful, and it will be judged in the judgment day. But we will not be excused because of a lack of righteousness in others. Noah was held accountable by God, who considered him righteous when everyone else on the planet was not. It's not going to be any different in that last day. I have to obey God, Even if everyone else denies him, I can still be right with God by following his will. Some offer the excuses that I wasn't ready, but I was planning to get ready. I've had people tell me for years they're planning to obey the gospel. Good intentions will not please God. We're going to be judged according to the things we have done in the body, whether good or bad. Acts 17 and verse 30 is likely going to be held up by Christ saying, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. And I can hear followed by something like, you did not. It's going to be our own fault if we're not ready. I've even had some tell me, well, I don't have time to go to church. Well, think about this. In eternity, you're going to have nothing but time to consider how we failed to properly use our time and obey God. What end of that equation do you want to be on? Friends and brethren, God's appointments must be kept. Some, he gives us the choice. But he's going to hold us accountable. Others, we have no choice. We will appear. Everyone. His appointments must be kept because God made the appointment. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for eternity? The soul that sins, it shall die. That's the proclamation of God. But Jesus has made it possible for us to escape this penalty of eternal death. We must obey his word today, in this life, while life remains. I urge you this morning, if you've not done so, to repent of your sin, to confess Jesus before this body of people, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If you're a Christian who fears the judgment to come, then changes need to be made in your life. Fear of the judgment is only caused by sin. Sin needs to be repented of. You need to pray that the Lord will forgive you. And then you must change your conduct to serve the Lord in righteousness and to obey the will of the Father. I urge you to make your soul right with God today so that you may hear him say in that last day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. You need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Come forward now as we stand and sing.